In the future, the internet is erased by an evil syndicate. They use time travel to gain vast wealth and power. There's still hope as the Home Office sends agents back in time to salvage as much information as they can about the late 20th and early 21st century to stop the evil syndicate and avert a radioactive disaster. Agents from the Home Office, George, Joseph, and Jim, have dedicated years to the intrepid journey. But suddenly, George is mysteriously removed, and a new agent appears. Did the evil syndicate remove George, or did the evil syndicate install Jason? Will the mission of the crispy-coated robots succeed?
Hey, it's Jim.
Hey, it's Joseph.
Hey, it's Jason.
And this is the Crispy Coated Robots. Thanks for joining us. Today's show is going to be a good one because we're talking about the best holiday scenes of all time from movies or TV shows. And as we know, it could be any holiday. You know, it could be
any holiday.
Any holiday. It could be Groundhog Day. It could be any holiday. So
I'm looking forward to hearing, you know, your holidays, Jim, because I know you have an affinity for the strange ones. So let's see what I'll
bring. And you can't just like do a Gary Marshall movie like, hey, Valentine's Day, that's my favorite. Hey, New Shit. Year's Eve.
All There's those. My list.
All Done. Those. Done. All those,
and I don't know. You know, it's weird because Joseph and I, we wrote a script called Love Sign, and it was like an ensemble cast. And I remember they said, oh, it's kind of like this. And somebody sent me Joseph, remember this? They sent us a advanced copy of Valentine's Day before. Yes. And I was like, this, it's kind of like this. And we're like, man, this stinks. I can't believe this got made. Of course, it got made with Julia Roberts and all those people. So
we're still trying
to shop our script. But I guess the main question before we get started is how you guys doing?
I'm doing good, but yeah. I'm going to bring up something that I recently saw. I'm sorry, guys.
I just see the look in your eyes. That's why I'm laughing.
Did either of you guys watch the 2023 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame ceremony?
I saw the very end of it. And it's funny. Usually I'll go back and try to watch the beginning of it, but I didn't even have the desire to. It was on Disney Plus this year, right?
Yeah, it's the most un-rock and roll ceremony possible. I think they need to rebrand is what they need to do, because I'm going to go along with Gene Simmons on this one. It was the least rock and roll ceremony I've ever seen there. The highlight, obviously, was Missy Elliott. She sort of did the finale and all that, and it was great. It was brilliant and all that. But I read an article like 2 or 3 years ago, and it was talking about how few guitars were still like on the stage for like these major rock festivals. Like it's all turned into, you know, basically DJs and keyboards and stuff like that. And it really sort of makes me think like, where are like all the great rock bands anymore? Are we just sort of in that envelope?
Well, what's your definition? You know? I mean, both of you guys, what is the definition of rock and roll? Because it's a very
that's essentially the thing. I mean, yeah. is it the Rock and Roll Music Hall of Fame, or is it the Rock and Roll Attitude Hall of Fame? Right.
Well, they inducted Willie Nelson. This is like a year after inducting Dolly Parton.
That's a Rock and Roll Attitude, though. Rock and roll attitude.
So is that what it is? It's just an attitude.
Beastie Boys.
Now?
I remember my father-in-law getting mad when I was watching the Beastie Boys in there, and they were, you know, and obviously they had guitars. They were singing "No Sleep Till Brooklyn" and all that stuff like that. So I think it's just the definition of that. Maybe they should just call it the Music Hall of Fame.
You know? They really
American
should
Music
because,
Hall of Fame or something like that.
Yeah, I was just bothered by it. So that's my thought of the week, I guess.
I caught some of it on YouTube. Who was doing the one with the spinners? Was it New Edition or Boyz II Men?
I think it was Boyz II Men, yes.
Yeah.
That was really good. That was great.
It was great. No, that was great. That was good. You know, I really wish I could have seen Rage Against the Machine, but, you know, they opted out, at least some of the band members did. So Tom Morello was there saying why he was the one member that decided that he wanted to do it. And it was just sort of sad because can you remember like when they first started, the ceremonies, how they would always have like the end. Well, no, they would always have the end jam. And the jam was awesome. Paul Schaefer, you know, was, you know, the house band. And they can't do that anymore. They really can't do that anymore. So,
before we get started, I want to roll it all the way back and ask you guys, because I haven't had a chance. Did you see the Little Richard documentary?
Oh, yeah. CNN? Yeah, I did.
Yes. Oh. Hey, he was gay. In case you didn't know that, he was gay.
I did not know that. I didn't know he had a wig also.
Yeah, I had an issue with that documentary. I really did, because I was just like, is this about Little Richard, or is this more or less about famous people that were gay?
Well, I mean, that's part of his, he was like the major
Everyone knew he was gay, though. I mean, that wasn't like, oh gosh, that's a shocker, you know?
But it still was a different time, Joseph. I think you got to kind of like respect that coming out of that different time. And, you know, I actually met Little Richard. I think I told you guys this. He came up to the radio station
at
7 o'clock in the morning. They said, Little Richard's coming tomorrow. So I'm expecting Little Richard maybe coming out in a hoodie, maybe some jeans, just, you know, before the show. 7 o'clock in the morning, full dress. Looks full like Richard. A wax doll. Full Richard. Woo! Shut up! All the way through the whole thing, just on fire at 7 o'clock in the morning. So the consummate showman. So I have nothing bad to say about Little Richard.
But and yet, Jim was hit on less than when he interviewed Sherman Hensley.
Okay, that's a whole other topic. Let's go ahead and move to the. That's a topic for another day. George Jefferson didn't make a move on me. All right, so that was a weird interview. He was releasing a single. He did a cover of Louie Louie, which, you know, obviously didn't go up the charts. All right, so
moving on up.
The show today is it is the top holiday scenes, top five holiday scenes, and we'll all get together and we'll send that top five of what we put together, send it up into the future. Now, here's the deal. It could be movies or TV show, and could be any holiday. So we're going to go ahead and start with Joseph. What is your number five?
Number five, you guys know what I'm going to say. It's got to be It's a Wonderful Life. You know, it's... When a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. It gets me every time. I've seen the movie 4 times so far this year. As you guys know, every year I try to see how many times I can watch it, either, you know, on pay-per-view or on regular television and all that. And I'm on 4 right now. We still got a couple of days left, so I may squeeze some more in there. But It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, wow. So that, yeah, it's a classic. It's a classic scene. I mean, you know, all the stuff he goes through, and he finally has that whole ending scene. Jason, you're number five.
I was just going to say, and Donna Reed is so beautiful.
She's hot. Yeah. She is hot. I mean, really. Yeah.
And I thought I was bad for like liking Teresa Wright from the Lou Gehrig, Pride of the Yankees. I said, man, she was hot. Now I don't feel so bad. All right. Number five for you, Jason.
well, my first best holiday scene comes from 2013. I'm talking about The Purge. That's right. Purge night is a national holiday where crime is legal for 24 hours. What? And the scene I'm talking, yes. And the scene I'm talking about is when the Purgers come to the front door and they want in. They come to the front door where Ethan Hawke and his family are in. They know that Ethan's family has let someone in and they want in. And he takes off his mask and he talks all through the peephole and he says, please just let us purge. Classic.
Okay, Jason. All right. I don't know if he's getting the whole holiday thing. My number five is from When Harry Met Sally. We have this whole will they or won't they through the entire movie. And on New Year's Eve, when they're at home watching Dick Clark and they finally, and Harry decides to just run. I don't know if it's Harry or Sally decides to meet them at a party and profess their love for him in a big giant, you know, huggy kissy scene that always, I think about New Year's Eve. I think about that scene in the movie. So, it's even better than the entire New Year's Eve movie with John Bon Jovi that Gary Marshall did, but anything's better than that. So the Harry Met Sally finally coming together on New Year's Eve is number five.
And we got a match.
Boy, Meg Ryan, she was beautiful.
She was. Hey, I had a super crush on her, and this is why it's my number three, Jim.
Number three, all right.
So we definitely have a match here because, I love you. That you get cold and it's 71 degrees out. I love you. That it takes you an hour and a half to order a sandwich. I love you. And it goes on and on. I love this scene. It was, you know, one my favorite movie for at least 3 years. When people would ask me during this time, what's your favorite movie ever? I would say Harry Met Sally. It was just, to me, like a Bible of relationships, of how it works. I really identified with the Harry character quite a bit. I've changed since I've been married, just like he, the character did. But at the time, I thought he was preaching the truth, you know, with everything. And yeah, there's something about this. I mean, it's a cliche. It's the trope, right? You know, like running across, you know, because you can't wait. And he even says that. He goes, you know, when you know that it's the right person, you know, you want to start it as soon as possible kind of thing. So this is my number three. It makes the list.
Wow, that's good. So, yeah. But Joseph, you know, I don't want to say too much because I know his family might be listening. But Joseph was a player back in the day with the ladies. He had one dry streak when he dressed up like Charles Grodin for 2 weeks and I was hot. But that was only 2 weeks that I was hot, and the rest it was Joseph bringing a new
it
girl.
It was bizarro world. I was like, what's going on? Up is down. Down is up.
Jason in college.
Did you get a fern and everything? Did you get a fern?
No, it was in college one week. It was like 1 month. All the girls liked me for some reason. There was no change. I didn't change a thing.
Like everyone was like, hey, do you know Jim? I was like, what?
And then Joseph got dumped or something happened where he was single. So he started dressing up like Charles Grodin from The Lonely Guy. With the sweater vest and his hair combed to the side. And so, you know, great stuff. All right. So let's go to your number four, Joseph. We had your number three. What's your number four?
Yeah. So number four, also a holiday tradition. I've also seen this twice so far. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Yeah. And the scene, I mean, there's so many scenes on here that I can call out. So many scenes. But one scene that still makes me laugh to this day, and it's a silly, just comedy farce scene, is the squirrel scene. I love the squirrel scene because that seems like, you know, as crazy and over the top as this movie can get, I feel like the squirrel scene is just like the pinnacle part of it. It's like when everything breaks down, literally. And I love that Julia Louis-Dreyfus has the final say when she knocks on the door and he opens it up and the dog goes out with the squirrel. So love this scene. Love this scene. It's my number four.
Very good. Just awesome. Jason, what's your number four?
My number four is the scene that has a guy who was a dentist. He was a gambler. He was a gunfighter.
Okay.
He was a friend to noted lawman Wyatt Earp. And you saw that relationship in 1993's Tombstone. That's right. I'm talking about Doc Holliday.
Well, I thought you were going to say Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You said the dentist thing. Oh, what a big loop.
Doc Holliday.
Doc Holliday.
Val
Kilmer.
Spelled with two L's. Doc Holliday. And the scene I'm talking about is when Val Kilmer meets with Johnny Ringo, who was Michael Biehn from Terminator. They're in the casino, and Johnny Ringo is spinning his gun all around and up and down, showing how he can flip a revolver around like that, which you can't do without shooting yourself. That's insane. And Val Kilmer makes fun of him right back at his face, looking straight at him, like spinning a silver cup all around. So, yeah, my holiday scene.
Jason, right, well, I guess Jason, I'll be your Huckleberry.
Technically, it is a holiday scene. We can't stop
holiday him, scene. Thank
I don't
you.
Know if he's actually getting okay. My number four is from a 1976 TV episode, All in the Family, called The Draft Dodger, where Mike Stivic has invited his draft dodger friend to Christmas dinner. Archie does not know he's a draft dodger. He invites his friend to dinner, who's a Gold Star father who lost his son in Vietnam. So you have this whole thing. And the best scene is when it comes out that he's a draft dodger and Archie goes ballistic. I think it's probably the best acting I think I've ever seen, movies, TV, all together, from Carol O'Connor. And you could tell they bleeped it out when he really says, I don't care about that GD war. He's really saying the word, but in all the edits, it's damn war. But just how explosive he can get. You can tell the lights are hot on that set. He's sweating, but he really immersed himself into this one. I know Archie Bunker's characters had some great scenes, but for Christmas, a Christmas scene, this draft dodger scene at the table when he finally explodes, And I mean, it's funny. You can tell in the studio, it's just silent. People are like, can we laugh? Because there's a couple funny lines in there. There's kind of like nervous chuckles. But it is probably one of the greatest acting performances. Carol O'Connor in The Draft Dodger from 1976.
Norman That's Lear, great. Man. Yeah. Norman Lear effect. Yeah,
it is. Jeez. It is.
101, is right? 101?
Where he passed
he died
away.
Recently, 101.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. 101.
Norman
crazy.
Lear.
That's crazy.
That's a long
that
time.
That is wild.
That's a long time.
That's a long time. It's 101 like, years.
You're looking at the ceiling every time you wake up. I'm still here.
I'm still here.
All right. We're on now to the number three. Joseph, you're taken care of already with Harry Met Sally. What is yours, Jason?
Well, I know that I haven't had you follow me with The Purge or with Doc Holliday. I may have lost you, but I'm going to get you back now.
Okay.
With The Christmas Party and Goodfellas. 1990s Goodfellas. Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
I love this party. I love this party. And I'll tell you why, because it's not just that it's all the guys getting together for a Christmas party, like an office Christmas party, which is so great for a bunch of gangsters.
Right? Is this the one right after the heist?
After the heist.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. And you would think they would have called off the Christmas party. It's not just don't buy anything, but just let's call off the party. But no, they still have the party. People show up. They show up with the pink Cadillac. The wife shows up with the mink coat. Robert De Niro's Jimmy. He goes nuts, screaming, "Don't buy anything!" Yeah. Which is my catchphrase every Christmas.
And then and then after that, you cue up the Eric Clapton, Derek and the Dominoes at the end.
That's right.
And you have everybody in that Christmas scene is dead. Frank Carbone's body was frozen so hard they had to thaw him out for 4 days. Great scene.
That's a Christmas scene. That's a holiday scene. Excuse me.
Are correct. And mine is not a Christmas scene. It is Ned Ryerson's first introduction to our weatherman from Bill Murray from Groundhog's Day when he makes that corner and takes that turn. And that he bumps into Ned the Head, who apparently went to high school with him, had shingles so bad he almost missed senior year. But you have this whole insurance spiel. Now, there are some internet conspiracy theories that think Ned Ryerson is actually the devil. And he's the person that starts the whole loop in time when he says, watch that first step. It's a doozy that he's plunging the Bill Murray character into some sort of time loop or hell until he finds himself. So that's one of the theories for Groundhog's Day. I just like the character. Stephen Tobolowsky, I think, is the actor.
My theory is that he's Action Jack Barker. That's my theory.
Jack Barker.
Right? Isn't he?
That's right. That's right.
From Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley is the best. Okay.
I was like trying to figure out. I know like the name Jack Barker. Well,
he's conjoined triangles of success.
He's been in tons of stuff. So, but the Ned Ryerson character, and then of course you have later in the time loop where Bill Murray just punches him or buys a bunch of insurance. It's funny though. According to the theory, when he buys the bunch of insurance, that's when the time loop stops.
Oh no, that's true.
And then he comes out as. Out of the time loop because he bought the insurance from Ned. He was a nicer person to Chris Elliott and the Andy McDowell characters, and the time loop stops.
Here's what's going to happen. The folks at State Farm or Farmers, they're going to go and they're going to buy some of that IP. They're going to go back and release the State Farm Groundhog's Day movie. And it's just going to be a commercial for State Farm, a little subtle.
I like it. Ned the Head instead of Jake from State Farm. All right, so we're on to number two, holiday scene. Joseph, what do you got?
Okay, my first TV introduction to it. It comes from the one with the holiday armadillo. I'm talking about Friends, and I'm talking about the great comedic actor. I think he's underrated so much, David Schwimmer, who decides that he wants to teach his son about his Jewish traditions, Hanukkah, and that Santa Claus is overrated or whatever. But at the last minute, he's like, look, I want to do something for my son. So he tries to find a Santa Claus outfit at the last minute, cannot. So he goes with the only outfit the costume store has, which is an armadillo. And it is a hilarious scene. It's just great comedic writing throughout there. Of course, Chandler shows up dressed as Santa Claus, and then Joey shows up as Superman. So you have this like complete ridiculous scenario or whatever, but it's a great, it has that heart to it, you know, it's super silly and all that. But the one with the holiday armadillo friends episode is my number two.
All right. I haven't seen that in a long time.
Number two for you, Jason.
All right. I think I got you back with the Goodfellas, right?
Yeah, you did. Yes, definitely.
This should have been my number one. It's not my number one. I'm sorry. It's not my number one, but it is the most holiday as it gets. I mean, this is so holiday. It's from the movie from 1942, Holiday Inn, which of course.
You are not.
Yes. Inspired a chain of hotels across America. It's when Bing Crosby sings White Christmas along with Marjorie Reynolds in Holiday Inn, White Christmas, Bing Crosby, Holiday.
And this is like the first.
Oh, thank God. I thought you were going to go with the February day. No. The controversial February day. Jim, do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't even want to talk about it. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
This was the
introduction to White Christmas too. And then this has more of a whistle in the version that's in here too. He whistles a lot in the White Christmas version. But of course.
So what was the second movie, Jim?
White Christmas was the second movie.
He reprises it 13 years later.
That's right. This is the first one. They're in front of the fireplace. Yeah.
In black and white, of course.
And just to go along with that, to give our listeners a little bit, the house that they use, for the Holiday Inn is the same set that they end up using for White Christmas. So they reused the exact same set. So the barn that the general is in, White Christmas, is the same house that he sings in for his Holiday Inn. So there you go.
There you go. A little crispy cut of trivia for you right there from Joseph.
Last thing about that, Marjorie Reynolds, she was really beautiful.
She was hot. She was hot.
I think the next show from the home office is going to be top five
hottest women, wholesome ladies that you got turned on by
in Turner hottest, Classic hottest Movies.
Black and white women from you have to they could have never appeared in a color film.
They
ever.
Must be dead by
must
now.
Must be in black and white all the time. All right, so my number two, you guys might hate me for this, but it is from 1990, Home Alone. The famous Christmas morning scene where Kevin wishes his mother will return, gets up, it's empty, and then, of course, he sees Catherine O'Hara sitting there. They give kind of a look to each other like, you left me, and then he smiles and gives her a hug. And then the family pretty much comes in. So all the things she's trials and tribulations she's been through kind of didn't really get her there any faster than the family. And the good thing that really is a bookend to the scene is when Macaulay Culkin, Kevin's character, looks out the window and he sees that the old man that they was scared of at the beginning of the movie kind of reuniting with his son, and you have this kind of whole really good wholesome scene. So Home Alone, which I've been watching a lot lately because it's on all the time. But yes, the Christmas morning scene,
awesome,
with the reuniting of mom and son. So that's
funny.
Awesome.
I have not watched that one this year.
You have not watched that one.
I have not seen that one. I haven't seen.
You know, I kind of threw it away, and then now I watch it. It's kind of got some deeper meanings to it, as far as like, you know, with the family, and then the old. I you know, besides all the burning heads and the
torture. Yeah. It's basic torture.
And you know, those were stuntmen. That was there's no CGI at the time. So when they showed how they did it, those stunt guys actually had to fall on the stairs and everything. So
a
lot of pain. All right, so number one holiday scene, Joseph, Jason, I think we probably have a same number one. So Joseph,
I don't know, mine's controversial. Oh, I picked it because it's basically Charles Schulz saying, screw everyone, I'm going to do it my way. And I'm talking about A Charlie Brown Christmas, which is the you know, Christmas special of Christmas specials.
Yes.
You know, created in 1965. And there's a scene in there that they wanted to censor right away because they were like, it's too religious.
It's church.
It is Linus saying, Charlie Brown's like, why is Christmas about? And Linus is like, it's about Christ. And he goes into and talks about the manger scene. He has this whole like monologue of it. And you watch it now and it's like, whoa. Like, you know, when we're a day and age where everyone's like, oh, you don't really don't talk about religion, you know, and everyone has their own opinions on it. It works. I mean, it works in 1965, you know, it was sort of a lot now, definitely a lot or whatever, but I just like it because I'm like, you know what? Hey, take away the commercialism of Christmas and stuff like that. It's like, what is the whole point? And this is a movie that's saying, this is why it's about. And it's saying, we're not going to be apologetic for it. We're not going to make room for, you know, well, Christmas can be wherever you want it to be. This is what it's supposed to be about. And I appreciate it for that. Now, whether or not I think, you know, that Christmas is still that way today, that doesn't matter. My whole thing is that this is a piece of art. And I do consider it to be an art. You know, it's a Christmas special. It's a cartoon and all that. But it holds to it. It's like it has integrity to it. So
it was. It does. It was a landmark. It was the first time you ever heard Black Friday Christmas sale in Charles Schulze. Am I right?
And, you know, Jason, I want to jog your memory because I talked to Joseph about this. He doesn't remember like Dolly Madison Zingers. Do you remember those?
Oh,
they,
yeah.
They used to sponsor the Charlie Brown stuff all the time. It'd be like CBS, you know, brought to you by Dolly Medicine.
Sure.
I remember that. I just never ate them. That
they're like a Twinkie with icing.
Yeah, and then
like a Twinkie with icing.
Yeah, they're like a smaller Twinkie. I after Jim made fun of me, I had to go search and find one.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Do some research. Jason, what is your number one?
I was going to bow out because I was so taken with Joseph's number one, but I have to confess that my life also changed on December 18th, 1997, when I heard about Festivus, the holiday for the rest of us. That's right. You know it. You love it. The feats of strength, the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people.
Classic.
When George gets called out for donating to the Human Fund, his boss says, well, I got to hear more about this, George. Oh, it's all too true, sir. Festivus.
There's so many layers to that episode too, because you have the whole bagel strike, which I forgot about too, and then you have Elaine with her hair, and then you have the whole giving the wrong phone number because you don't look good to the other person, and those people end up showing up, and it's a Festivus miracle and all that stuff. There's a lot of layers. I forget that. Oh, that's all in the episode. Even the Jerry two-faced woman is in that episode where he sees the woman in the dark and the light. Yeah. That's that episode too. There's like a lot of classic things going on.
Well, the scene I'm talking about is the scene where they all come together for Festivus dinner
at the table.
Yes. And he gets out the pole.
Yeah. It's all about taking off the shirt and wrestling. I think right. That is hilarious.
Wrestle your father, George.
I'm really surprised that you guys didn't have the same number one as I do. Cause I guess the thing is, does it happen on Christmas Eve or does it happen on Christmas Day? Depends on the timing. If it's past midnight. But it is the climactic scene in Die Hard where Hans Gruber falls from the Nakatomi Plaza. And it's now become almost an advent calendar now. They sell it where you move Hans Gruber down like each notch, like an advent calendar opening the windows and stuff like that. Because it's such a iconic scene. And as we all know, I think it's pretty much common knowledge now that they know Alan Rickman was a theater actor. This is his first big movie. And he was, you know, rigged up and they dropped him before he was ready.
And
so
it worked.
Have that really scared reaction, which is awesome. So, but that for me is the holiday scene, you know, and I've seen t-shirts, not Christmas till Hans Gruber falls from the Nakatomi Plaza. So that is my number one scene.
That's great.
All of our scenes are good, except for probably the Doc Holiday scene. So, I mean, I do appreciate the effort, though, Jason. So,
okay.
Do we want to discuss our top five? So, we got Harry Met Sally. That made it in.
Yes.
We got Archie Bunker's Dodger. We got Ned Ryerson from Groundhog's Day. We got the Goodfellas Christmas scene. We got the Friends, Armadillo, Holiday Inn, the good part of that movie. Not controversial. Charlie Brown Christmas. And we have Die Hard. Is there anything? There's a couple I'm missing too. You had The Purge, Jason. And
Purge. Can't forget The Purge.
And you had, of course, Tombstone. So
I'm gonna I'm going to vote for All in the Family. You know, we got to do it in honor of Norman Lear. Yeah, just passed.
I would do that just because that was the most intense scene.
Yes.
Probably the most that gets the most intense holiday scene.
Okay. So we got Harry Met Sally and All in the Family. And I do think Charlie Brown Christmas. I probably would have put that on there if I would have thought about it. That scene there. You guys okay with that?
It's an animated scene. Yeah. Sure.
Now here's where we get in kind of a crazy territory, because Joseph also threw out the It's a Wonderful Life. And that's a classic scene too. So
it is a classic scene, but I will say this, I'm going to go for Festivus.
Okay.
And the reason why I'm going for Festivus, because I think it pairs well with the Charlie Brown Christmas scene.
It does.
Where, you know, Charlie Brown is all about, it's about Christian holiday. Festivus sort of makes fun of how, like, it's just become sort of the, like, it's just a holiday, you know, there's not really a religion tied to it anymore. And I like that. I like the idea that you have, you know, 30 years later, you have a whole episode show that's sort of the opposite. So I think it pairs well.
So we got it's celebrated Sally.
It's celebrated on December 23rd, by the way, and I'll point that out. And it's not a religion. I'm sorry, as a Festivestian.
Is
a religion.
You actually celebrate.
I have a poll. You want to see the poll?
I was about to say, he has his poll.
Do you wrestle your son?
Yeah. Wrestle your father, Sam.
I'm sure he would love that. Harry Met Sally, Archie Bunker, Festivus, and Charlie Brown. We need one more for the list.
The White Christmas was pretty holiday-ish, although it is Christmas.
Yeah.
Would y'all go with the wild card? You know, the Goodfellas Christmas party? Christmas, but it's holiday occasion.
I do like it. I do like the fact that everybody there overspent and showed off, and they all ended up dying. So,
or do I get my purge, which everyone laughed at?
No, it's not happening. I don't think so. Unless Joseph.
I could go for something. I could go for something off kilter like that. Goodfellas. We love the movie.
I do like the Goodfellas. Yeah, I didn't think about that. That is, I didn't realize that was the Christmas party actually.
How many Purge movies have been made? How many? Like, they're up to like 17 now, right? It's 17. A national holiday.
Yes. All right. Maybe that's another
Ethan
topic.
Ethan still alive? Wait. What?
Maybe that's a topic we do. Yeah. The best Purge films. So, all right. Here's the final list. When Harry Met Sally's New Year's Eve scene, Archie Bunker's Draft Dodger scene,
nice.
Festivus from Seinfeld, Charlie Brown Christmas talking about Jesus, and number one, The Goodfellas Christmas party where everybody's showing off and they all end up dead playing to Derek and the Dominoes. Layla's
don't buy anything. Perfect.
Perfect. I think that was very good. Very good episode. Very nice list that will go. But that's pretty much it. CrispyCoatedRobots.com, where you need to go for all our information. Do you guys have anything else to add?
Merry Christmas.
All right. I guess remember, there's always tomorrow.
Or is there?